Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful week thus far. I know I'm enjoying the much warmer weather here in North Carolina, so I am definitely looking forward to the weekend. And so my guest tonight is passionate about telling stories of faith and hope and love. And as a matter of fact, I had her on the show a couple of years ago, so it's great to have her back and be able to talk to her again about what she's been up to since last we spoke. My guest was born in Akron, Ohio, to Nigerian parents and spent her childhood and early adult years in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. She has a degree in finance and a master's degree in global management. And her publishing credits include An Unexpected Blessing, The Christmas Ultimatum, When You Let Go, A Scoop of Love, and Anchored by Love. And she also is a recipient of a 2015 Nigerian Writers Award for Best Faith-Based Fiction Writer. Her work has appeared in Africa Book Club, USA Today's HEA blog, and the Kenyan e-zine Wamathai. And she can tell me I mispronounced that or chop it up when she gets on in a second if I did. Her stories are described as a fusion of faith, romance, and African spice. She is also the co-owner of Kevstel Group, LLC, and we'll talk to her in a little bit about that. And you know, her readers are in love with her unique way of telling stories that capture the essence of her present home base, Atlanta, Georgia, and as well as her Nigerian culture. She calls them her God-given stories and strives every day to use her gift to edify his glory. So it is my pleasure tonight to welcome Noma Nwankwor to the show. Well, welcome, Noma.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for joining me tonight. I am very excited that you're here this evening. And I know that listeners can't wait to learn more about you. So let's get started with a little bit more about you and how you got started writing Christian fiction.
I think when I started to write, I just wanted to write. So I really thought I would be the best romance author since sliced bread. I really thought so. Really, I mean, when I started to read at a young age, I'm an avid reader. I started to read just romance. I'm a huge Brenda Jackson fan. So I just started to read just romance. And when I grew up, because I grew up at home, and when I say home, that's Nigeria. So I grew up at home, and we only were introduced to Milton Bowles. I don't know if you know that line, but I think
yes.
Those were the only things that I knew. Those were the only things I grew up on. So, you know, I'm always seeing this Caucasian hero and heroine. That's all I knew. So as time went on, I got to read some African writers, but they don't really write romance, but almost like it's women's fiction. Mm-hmm. But I'm a huge romance, heavily ever after kind of person. Anyway,
right. Fast
forward a couple of years later, I moved to the U.S. And I got saved. So, you know, I really wanted to read that romance still, but I really, you know, want to talk about God and talk about my journey and encourage people. Hope is a huge platform for me because it's a personal thing for me. There was a time in my life when I was hopeless. So that's really something that I like to talk about. So all my characters are either struggling to hold on to hope, have lost hope, or just getting hope. One of them is hope is going to be in it some kind of way. Then I think I was in Borders one day looking for my next Brenda Jackson novel when I bumped into this Christian fiction section. I'm telling you, I never knew Christian fiction before that day. And I think that was in the 2000, 2005 or 2006. I never knew Christian fiction until that day. And the person's book I ran into was Because of Grace by Norma Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
She has a third name. But anyway, so that was the first book I read. So, and I read, I'm like, okay, so I can talk about my faith. I can talk about romance because it was there. And I said, okay, well, what will make me? My African culture, of course. So I'm going to add all that together.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what we can do about it. But, you know, fear held me back. So although I had the thought, I never went ahead and did it. I just kept making myself broke by buying every Christian fiction author I could find. That's how I met Pat Simmons. That's how I read Louise Ronnie McKnight. And I read Sherry Lewis. I read everything Christian fiction, but I would never pick up the pen to write anything. But I kept reading. You know, I kept reading everyone. I'm like, okay, this does exist. I still read Bernice Jackson, though. She's our favorite. But I kept reading that kind of stuff. So I think in 2012, I had this. So now I'm married to my husband, and he's on his own journey. And I see him every day living out his own purpose. But I'm just there reading and buying other people. He always teases me. So he just, you have to have shares in Brenda Jackson and Pat Simmons' company by now, because he knows them by name.
Exactly.
What are you going to do? Yeah. He said, what are you going to do? And I'm like, oh, you know, well, until, you know, I had an incident in 2012 while I was hospitalized for a long period of time. So while I was there, I started to think, if God called me home today, would he tell me, well done? Have I done everything apart from go to work, go to church, read a book? And that cycle just continues to, you know, I know I have something in me to do, but I haven't done it. So then I wrote it, and then I wrote my first book, and I always say this every time I talk about my journey. I say, when you move to where you can't move anymore, God helps you move. Because after I wrote it, I didn't know where to put the comma, where to put apostrophe. I just knew I had to write something.
Right. And
after
that stuff, you know, comes.
Yeah. You know, after I did that, I said, okay, where to go from here? Well, you know, at that time, I looked at Christian fiction authors I read as an enigma, kind of, like you can't touch them. I don't know how I got to touch Rhonda McKnight. And ever since then, she read my stuff. I knew my stuff was crap. But she read it, and she says, you know what? I'm going to help you out. And ever since then, it has been, she gave me that confidence. If not her, if she had said, child, I think you need to stick to your day job, it would have been done.
Right.
It would have been done, Lisa. But she didn't say that. So even though she probably should have said that, she did not. And so
I think she wasn't supposed to say that. I think God
and
placed
you know
her
what?
In your path because,
God,
you know, you needed some inspiration.
Destiny helper. Yeah.
Right.
But I knew I wrote nonsense. But, you know, she said, good job. I'm like, okay. I ran around the house that day. I said, baby, I talked to Rhonda McKnight.
Now, you know what? One of the fun things about being an author is, you know, weaving tales in great locations. And you know, do such a great job of that in your novels. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about how you decide where you're going to the location of, you know, the books that you write, or do you do the bulk of that online, or do you just kind of go, you know, by what you know and what you visited?
Okay. Well, as you know, I write from an African, especially a Nigerian perspective. So places in Nigeria, I have visited them when I start to write. So I always know that the location, part of the location of my book will be set in Nigeria, or it will be set in Nigeria, because all my other books except my fifth one, the fifth one, was located partly in Kenya. That's the first time I branched out. I haven't visited Kenya, but I did a lot of research. But anyway, so I know that they'll be based in Nigeria. Then I also know that being what I am, you know, I'm a mixed breed. I was born here, went home, was raised at home, but came back here, and I live here with my family. So my characters are always going to be Africans in diaspora. Either they just moved back home or they just came over here. Something is going to be going on just so that I'm speaking from my own perspective. So when I write the African piece of it, I have visited those places, especially in Nigeria. But when I did the Kenyan book, I haven't even been there. It's my bucket list. And it's so funny because I was researching places. I said, oh, babe, we got to go here. Oh, I just saw this place. And he's like, God, can you? So I keep seeing places. But the places I write about in America, because some of my novels are set in Atlanta, I have been to those places. One of my readers told me that through my eyes, she got to visit Atlanta. That was really.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's a great compliment.
And she lives in Nigeria. But she said, through my eyes, she got to know the places to go when she comes to Atlanta. So that was a good thing. I like that.
Wow.
Dallas, I've been to Dallas. I've been to Chicago. So, yeah, most of the places I've been to, but some of them I've not been. So the research is done. I try not to get bogged down by the details because I know readers don't want to know the nitty-gritty, but I try to stay authentic and true to the location as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get wrapped up, hearing more about our guest, Christian fiction author Yonoma Wancor, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there, or you can call in at area code 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the live show, I will be posting the podcast and recap blog to readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to learn more about Yonoma as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at www.yonomawankwor.com. And we'll give you that website again in a little bit. So, Yonoma, you've received some very high praise about your novels. Readers have said that, you know, you really do set your scenes with an emotional punch that keeps hearts racing and that you continue to amaze with your stories. Now, you've received some great reviews also about your latest novel, He Changed My Name. So can you tell listeners a little bit more about that story?
And thank you. And when I get those comments, I just gave you a snippet of my publication story. So when I get comments like that, I'm just floored. I'm floored, I'm humbled, and I'm blessed because some years back, I never would have thought. Remember how I told you I just was, you know. But anyway, I'm so blessed for my readers. I'm so thankful for my supporters, for those who tried to, you know, read something new and, you know, liked it. Because, you know, sometimes you're skeptical about,
But for me,
I was given a chance and I am just grateful because I really am. I think I'll spend all night here talking about that. So let me move on. Okay. He changed my name. That story is amazing to me. First of all, I didn't plan it. So that was not a, and I know all writers say this, but really, I didn't plan. I'm a type A, so I have to have exactly what I want to happen in the year written out. So my thing was 2 books every year, right? So I did the first one in January, A Scoop of Love, and I know I had the second one slated for December. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's two. So I never thought my whole, and the books I wrote last year are a series. So my own plan was I'll write the third book this year. That was my, you know, 1 year. So that was it. Then I was driving back from work one day. And I think I was listening to the book of F. And I kind of thought, I said, well, you know, sometimes we do that, though. When God elevates us, you know, we try and act like we have amnesia for a while. When it's time for us to turn around and help somebody else. You know, we sometimes people forget that they were once an amateur, right? So because they become a professional, they forget. And to me, that was after, in, you know, loosely her story, right? She got elevated to the king, to the queen, and then she now tried to forget the struggles of her people. And she had that first excuse. So I said, okay, you know what? I don't know. God just whispered that to me. So I came home. I knew I had to have surgery on my hand. So I said, okay, let me see if I can do this novella in a month. I've never done that before. But I'm telling you, I sat down, and now I have excruciating pain on my left arm. That's why I had to have surgery. So I'm writing through it, and my husband's like, are you sure? I said, I have to finish it because I know that by the time I want to release it, I won't be able to use the arm.
Right.
And so we just kept going back, and I sent it back to my editor. And what that story is about basically is an embattled pop star, but she becomes embattled because somewhere in her journey, she forgot what she was. She's actually a PK who, you know, sometimes we get hurt in the church and then we now decide that we're not going to go to church anymore, forgetting that it's actually Christ that died for us and not the church that died for us. So she basically said no, you know, so she went on to have a singing career and she did all the things that she was not supposed to do and put her trust in the wrong person. And so the book starts off with her being going to court because of something she had done. So she was now going to face the judge. And she gets sentenced, and in jail, she's now sobered, right? So she's sobered, but she's still angry. And I felt that I'm going to just write the story. I didn't write it from just her perspective, but I wanted to show how, after hurt and pain, we just let go. He has the ability. We're never too lost to be saved. He has the ability to change our name. And that novel just came, that name just came to me one night, and I wrote to my readers group, I said, what do you think of this name? So the feminists in my readers group actually were like, I don't know, because they know I write romance. I'm like, no, it's not a man that changed her name now. And you know, that stuck with me. That stuck with me. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to make the cover not to have a man on the cover. Because when I have people, because stylistically, my novels have a man and a woman on it. But no, I wanted to just be a woman on this one so that when readers see it, they will probably not, you know, immediately jump to the conclusion that it's a man that changed her name.
Right.
Well, in this novel, she goes to court, she gets her sentence, and then part of her sentence involves community service. And she's taken right back to the same church. Not the same church, but church. Because her church that her was at home, but she's taken back to church where her goal is to get over the community service and get back to being a pop star. However,
she just wants to get it over and done with and keep moving.
Yeah, it was like the worst sentence she could get. So there's a part in the book where she says the church, that lightning will strike her down if she goes in there. She hasn't been in there forever. So she
it's
gets
amazing
there
how everybody thinks that, and there's never any lightning that comes knocking on somebody's door, striking them down.
Because I just went to rewatch some Empire episodes, and I saw when Lucius tried to get into church, and he was looking up like lightning was going to come down. I said, okay, that's what's
scooting over.
And exactly what it is. So anyway, she goes to the church, and she meets this pastor who is determined to change her perspective, but, you know, it's romance. So obviously, you're going to find love. But he decided to make sure that he saves her soul. There's a line in the book where he says, I'm going to save your soul for God and save your heart for myself, in that order.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that's kind of deep.
it was. And when that line came to me, I had to fan myself. I'm like, oh, God, Holy Spirit, take over. Anyway, so that's how her journey started. But obviously, you know, we believe God, but it's easy to trust Him when you're when it's all good. But then something happens to her in this her very new faith walk, and she is forced to choose. You know, does she believe this God that she has just changed her name, or that she go back to her other ways that she's familiar with? But you know how when Christ was not there and Peter was struggling, he went back to fishing because that's what he knew. So she had that opportunity to go back to singing because that's what she knew. But, you know, in her desire to keep with his walk and not wanting to go back to where she came from, and then this guy, obviously, she gets to find that, you know, He, if you trust him, he will change your name, no matter what you think of yourself. So that's basically the story. And I can tell you, obeying that whisper from God is amazing, the feedback. It has blown my mind, really.
Now, it's funny that you should say that, because that kind of segues into my next question. Has there ever been a time for you when God has placed something in your path that you weren't exactly sure you could tackle? And if so, you know, how did you overcome that initial doubt and follow the plan that He had for you?
Yes, and it didn't come in writing. What it came in is in speaking. I'm a huge introvert, and I went for a conference in 2013, and I told who I was listening, because, you know, it, my husband says, when you go there, make sure you share your card and do this, and he passed, and in my mind, I know I'm not doing that, I'm just going to go listen, because
right.
I don't want to get in the face, you know. I think I'm just reading my first novel then, you know, so I wasn't really, I don't know what it was.
Right,
but
and
anyway,
a lot of authors
there.
Are extroverts, me included.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a serious introvert. If you don't come and talk to me, you know, I try. It's bad, Lisa, but anyway, we're working through that. Jesus will fix it, I know, in the name of Jesus, because my heart is speaking. But anyway, so I'm in this conference, and everybody's talking, oh, yeah, stand up in the audience and do this and do this, and I'm shriveling in the corner, writing my little notes. Okay, so the next year, this is amazing, because the next year I get this call from, and you wouldn't believe it came from Australia. The lady says, I see, and this she says, I see that you're doing good things. I'm coming to Atlanta, and I'm going to do a conference, and I want you to speak. I said, I want me to do what now? She said, I want you to speak on your journey. And at that moment, you know I was about to say no. I want to say, can I write a pamphlet? I'm very good at writing this stuff down. She says, but it's a Woman Connecting Purpose Conference. Can you just speak on it? And
right.
I struggled. That's why I say, you know, wait, let me tell you about it next week. So I struggled. I really did. And my husband says, go for it, because he's a serious extrovert. He says, go for it. Do. And I found every excuse in the book until, you know, I said, okay, you know what, God? I don't know. Do people have cue cards? What do they do? Is there a roadmap?
Right.
Do they start off more? How do they do? How does speaking work? But I told her yes, and I did it. And there was something that after then I got people email me. I got signed up for the same conference this year again.
Oh, wow.
And yes, yes. So that means I did good some kind of way.
Of course you did.
And it was so funny because the lady that held the conference the year before said, I thought you said you would never speak. I said, you know what? He has other plans. That's all
true.
I could say, because I didn't know anything else to say.
So we know you can write, and we know that now you have mastered public speaking.
I haven't mastered it, but we're getting there.
And you also have a very successful company. So tell us a little bit about that and how you kind of got started with that and what you're working on at your entertainment company.
Sure. My entertainment company is called Kevstel Group, and that is it's a business that my husband and I opened. So it's the Kevstel Group is a parent company, and it is divided into Kevstel Productions and Kevstel Publications. As you know, I run the publication part, and then the day-to-day admin stuff, and my husband does productions, which is our movies, and he's going to do, I think, one seminar this year back home. But what that is that we decided that, okay, yeah, our purpose is we want to entertain, but we want to entertain with a purpose. So at the end of the day, you will walk out of there with some kind of message and some kind of edifying thing to go by, right? We just don't want to put things up to be a show or some kind of sort. So that started, actually, it started when my husband got married, but it was just his thing. Because, you know, like I told you, I was sleeping, eating, going to church, reading. That's what I was doing.
Right.
So it was his thing. You know, he was doing a lot of speaking, a lot of stand-up, and a lot of stuff. So the name was changing every year because, you know, I wasn't involved yet. But anyway, in 2012, or 2011, we actually rebranded into Kevstel and Group, and it has done really, really well. We did a short film, and that film got screened with Grenade Film Festival and Mirabella's in Spain Film Festival. And then we now did our feature film, which is called Tempting Fate. It's fate-based, obviously. So our motto is like spreading the word through visuals and print. So we, Tempting Fate actually got screened in a lot of independent movie festivals last year. We took it home last year, and it actually did gross at number 5 for 2015.
Wow.
Movies that showed in a year last year. Yeah, so it's been a real blessing. Right now, it is finally in the U.S., and it's playing on Amazon, Apple, I think it's iTunes. You know, I'm so green with technology. But anyway, that's another story. So it's playing on Amazon and all those online streaming platforms right now. And it has done really, really well, and we're just blessed. And right now I think he's working on his next production, which is going to be about is about a lady who is trying to make sure that her past does not dictate her future. So we're right now doing audition calls for it. Yeah, that's what we're working on the production side. On the publication side, as you know, I said I can't. My left hand is out of commission for a little bit, but so he changed my name is the last one. But later on this year, I hope to release my 7th novel, which will be the sequel to the novel I came on with you in 2013. So it's going to be called The Final Ultimatum. Yeah, you know, the first one is the Christmas Ultimatum, so this is going to be the final ultimatum.
Nice.
So an ultimatum brought them together in Christmas 2013. This is now 5 years after, and another ultimatum is what's going to tear them apart. So something. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to releasing that. A lot of readers have asked about it, and it's in the works.
What's one thing that's kind of about Christian fiction that sometimes readers kind of misconstrue?
I think, well, if you had asked me this question last year, I would say Christian fiction, why people may misconstrue it is because they believe that when they open the novel, they will have just Bible passages. That is one. That's if you had asked me this question last year, that's what I would say. I would say that when they open the novel, they'll see Bible passages. But somewhere along the line, Christian fiction has the people that read real Christian fiction, they know what Christian fiction is. But people that have not read it before and they want to now read it now, they will see things that are way to the left. Like the pastor has a hoe, or he has a baby mama, or he has something, and that's not my definition of Christian fiction. So I think part of that is finding that true balance in, you know, you want to give the drama, right? Because that's what can keep you, somebody reading a novel rather than watching a TV program. Because we have a lot of entertainment channels nowadays that we're in competition with everything. So you want to keep you want to have some drama. You want to have some page turning, oh my God, moment. But at the same time, you want to stay true to edifying the name of God and edifying the message of the gospel. So I think right now the worst misconception is that things that there's a lot of glorification of the scandal rather than actual teaching and spreading love, and you know, I think that's the I think that's what it is. That's the most misconstrued thing about Christian fiction.
Right, I definitely agree with you there, and also for the fact that you know, there can't be romance in it. Of course there can be romance in it. Christians love romance just as much as everybody else. So a lot of people just assume, oh, it's Christian fiction, but it can't be a spark. There can't be any tension there. And so I think that's definitely something that, you know, people kind of have got it twisted
that
on.
Why I love Pat Simmons. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love her. Love her. Love her. Love her. Love her. Because the first book, I'm telling you, the first book I read of hers is actually, and I forgot the name, but it's The Jameson Man. Those men, oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
The first book I read of hers was about Kevin, the first son.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it, and I had to go back, and I had to read it again, and I had to say, okay, you know what? I know I'm on Facebook now, so let me look for her. And so I looked for her. And because I think we confuse sex and romance. They are not the same thing.
Exactly.
So when a reader sees that they're not the same thing, and Pat does romance like nobody's business. I love that about her. She does. She
yes.
really does. She
yes,
does.
She does.
So like,
she puts her foot
yes.
in it.
And so, yes, she does. Oh, my God. Yes, she does. So I think that's the biggest thing. When we take out the fact that romance does not equal sex, then, you know, somebody will get into it. Because really,
mm-hmm.
Lisa, half the time, we're scribbling through the sex part, really, because we want to see the other stuff that happens. Really.
Right.
More
the tension.
Right now,
the
it's a matter
attraction.
Of how many times can you describe this?
Yeah.
Let's move on to get to what happened.
Yes, that's true. So, you know, we're almost out of time, but I want to definitely tell, give you an opportunity to let listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. The easiest way to get in touch with me is my blog. My blog is just my first and last name, joinedtogether.com. So that's unomawankwor.com, UNOMANWANKWOR. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me. All my platforms are there. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, yeah, and Facebook, yeah, all that stuff. I'm on there. But the easiest way to get to all of that is through my blog. You also see my newsletter there, yeah, and where I'll be at any given month or time is all through my blog.
Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you back on the show, and always definitely wonderful to sit down and get a chance to speak with you because, you know, I know everybody's so busy, but, you know, I'm glad
yeah.
I actually got a chance to sit down and talk to you for a half hour.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. You are welcome back anytime. And I would like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio for our In Faith Network program. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. There's a link for Readers Entertainment Radio at the top of the page where you can find Christian Readers Radio and In Faith Network shows. And if you like, you can leave a comment about tonight's show. We would love to hear from you. Next Thursday, I'll be doing a special RT Book Lovers Convention show, and we'll be announcing my guest early in the week, so stay tuned for that. I am your host, Lisa Watson, saying be blessed, be inspired, and happy reading. Good night, Unoma.
Good night.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment, www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.